Hey, folks, we're sitting around the campfire tonight with Dr. Chris Colsty. Chris is our personal vet here for Extreme Upland, and we've asked him to do a bunch of research and use his unique expertise to research rattlesnakes and the effects of rattlesnakes in the field, what to do if we come upon a situation where our dog's been bit, how to avoid them, and so forth. It was only, a couple weeks ago, we were on an early morning hunt. We had some young dogs out in the field with us. We're headed up through a ravine, and all these dogs have just gone past this location. When I look on the ground, and here's a massive rattlesnake. And we avoided catastrophe that day just by the skin of our teeth. And that's when I turned to Dr. Colsty and said, there's a lot of different information. What do we do? He spent a considerable amount of time. This is something we deal with every year. I think it's important for us to get up to speed on this. Even if you think you know what to do in this instance, I think this will serve you very well. We're grateful to be here today with you, Dr. Colsty, and thank you for having Extreme Upland. I really want to tell you about something that's made a big difference to our dogs here at Extreme Upland. We run a big string of dogs and we hunt a lot, and we found Canine Pit Stop and their performance supplements called Prehydrate and Refuel. And it has made a remarkable difference to us. When we go in the field, the Prehydrate helps our dogs stay super hydrated. It's our silver bullet, really, in competition and when we're out hunting. And the Refuel is a lot like marathoners using the goo. It's the same thing, folks, that it keeps their energy stores up. The difference that this has made to our dogs, we wanted to let you know. If performance in your dogs matters, if you want to get optimum performance out of your dogs, this natural, easy to use system will make the same kind of difference to you. I can't recommend it high enough. Canine Pit Stop, check it out. This is awesome stuff. Dr. Colsty, the other day I'm up in the high plains here in the Rocky Mountains, and it's early in the morning, probably 6:15, and we're doing some late summer training. We're headed up kind of over a small saddle, and I looked down on the ground. We had, at the time, probably 5 to 6 dogs or so that were up hunting, and we're doing a lot of training. I went to take a step, and I was trailing my son, and as I looked down, there was a pretty mature, big rattler that wasn't even paying attention to me. He was watching my son where he had gone. And immediately I got worried because I had puppies up there and they were coming after me. One of the big fears I have amongst porcupines and skunks and everything else, wild animals we deal with out here in the West a lot, or other places across the United States, we're hunting where there are rattlesnakes. These rattlesnakes are terrible, terrible nemesis for our great hunting dogs. Typically these things happen on weekends. They happen in remote places. We have a dog that is encountering or gets bit by a rattlesnake. Take me through what we should do right now. It just gets bit. We get it removed from the rattlesnake. What do we do right now?
To answer that question, I'm probably going to back up a little bit and just give you a little bit of some background information about rattlesnakes, rattlesnake bites. There seems to be a lot of maybe myth or stories about rattlesnake bites. So I think if we talk a little bit about some of them and maybe try and tease out some of the facts about rattlesnake bites, it might help us understand, because even knowing a lot about rattlesnakes myself, every time I see one, whether it's an intentional finding a snake or mistakenly coming upon a snake, it scares me. So there is not an organization that keeps track of snake bites in dogs. So the number of pets or dogs bitten, we really don't have. Like we do maybe with people, we know how many people die versus how many people are bitten by snakes. But on the dog side, that's just some pretty wild guesses that we put together. Probably anywhere between 10 and 30% of snakes bitten dogs will die from it. So we don't really have an exact number. 30% is a lot worse than 10%. That's 3 times worse. So my thoughts about any snake bite we have, we should treat it quite seriously and take the best steps. And one of the experts in the field, Dr. Peterson, says the best thing that you can have in your toolkit for snake bites is car keys. In other words, the sooner you're able to get your dog in for treatment, the better chances of a good outcome you'll have from a snake bite. sometimes that's a little bit of a challenge when you're maybe even traveling and don't know what vets are around. So if you are traveling into a new area to hunt, it may be good to do a little bit of homework ahead of time to find out where veterinarians are so that you have a contact of a veterinarian and aren't spending all your time trying to find out where that veterinarian may be. So seeking medical treatment is the best thing you can do. There's a couple things that the value of them are questionable, and one of them is giving Benadryl. Dr. Peterson suggests that Benadryl probably does not do any good, but there are several veterinarians that treat a lot of snake bites that are very comfortable saying that Benadryl makes a big difference. And maybe the only difference we get from treating with Benadryl is that it keeps the dog calm. Keeping a dog calm after a snake bite is important, the same as it would be for us getting bitten. So Benadryl may have some benefits, and that would be one thing I would suggest that everybody carry that's going to be a long ways from.
Is that Benadryl just off the shelf for humans? Benadryl liquid form, tablets?
You would do a milligram per pound of dog. So most of these hunting dogs are probably, you could have a 50 milligram tablet, and that would be an appropriate dose for that dog. If it's hard to give pills and you want to give the liquid, then you could do that. You just have to do the calculations. I believe that there's 12 milligrams per 5 mils of the children liquid Benadryl. But 1 mg per pound would be the dosage of Benadryl. So those would probably be the two most important things that you can really do. A little bit of information that might be important to help you feel of some of the seriousness of a snake bite would be the location of the snake or the location of the snake bite. A lot of dogs are bitten in the face or on the leg. Those are not as serious as one bitten in the chest or on the body of the dog. Several factors that will determine how serious a snake bite is not just the location that we talked about, but the size of the snake. At one time, it was thought that little snakes were worse because they couldn't control the amount of envenomation, the amount of venom on a snake bite. But also larger snakes have larger venom glands and have more potential venom that they can inject or envenomate the dog with when they bite. The type of snake bite makes a difference as well, meaning if a snake is laying there and the dog comes running by and it is kind of a defensive bite that the snake just reaches out and strikes, it may not inject as much venom as if your dog's trying to kill the snake. And agonal bites, they say, they probably are going to inject every bit of venom that they have. And the more venom, the more severe the bite is.
We've got Benadryl, we've got our car keys, we're trying, but we're still a long ways out there. Is there anything else that we can do in the meantime? I mean, you might sometimes be a couple of hours from even getting to a freeway.
Yes. So the main thing is trying to keep the dog quiet. And the Benadryl would help with that. And if your dog's bitten on the leg, you probably don't want to pick him upside down and have the leg sticking up in the air to carry him back, but keep the bite below the heart, the same as we would in people trying to keep the bitten area below the level of the heart if possible. But those are really the only things that we have available. You know, at one point people talked about doing tourniquets or trying to cut the wound and use tools to suck the venom out. Those just really don't have any impact. And even tourniquets can have a negative impact on. So those are really the main things.
You know, there's anti-venom shots that you can give, but you've suggested, as you've talked to me, that that's just not in any way feasible.
Yeah, giving anti-venom would need to be done in a veterinary hospital. It's given intravenously, so unless you're able to, you know, IV your dog, have, you know, some training where you could IV your dog and would carry anti-venom with you, that would be pretty hard to do because they're the method of administration of it.
Well, it's very expensive too, and it's shelf life, right?
Yes, correct.
You're talking about something that's $700 or $800 and it only lasts for a few months?
Yep. So most clinics don't have anti-venom available, so we don't carry any here in our clinic, and the majority of clinics probably don't unless they're one that see a lot of snake bites. The mainstream of treatment is IV fluids. And so, you know, that's another one of them things. If you're able to IV your own dog, know how to put a catheter in and maintain a catheter, it's would be pretty hard to do much other treatment. You know, if your veterinarian is willing to give you some antibiotics that you would use for if your dog gets a bad cut when you're back in there and you want to do that, there may or may not be some value in giving some antibiotics, but that's really a controversial topic of whether the antibiotics will do any good. Now, talking about anti-venom, you know, there's a rattlesnake vaccine that can be done. It's not the same as anti-venom.
But this is preventative, right?
It's more of a preventative type thing, and there's just not any research to help support that it makes any difference. But I did read, and I think it was from Dr. Peterson, that there seems to be a difference in dogs that have been bit multiple times. So on a subsequent bite, they don't seem to get as sick as they do on the first bite. Now, there's hundreds of factors that can go into how sick the dog gets, and the main one being how much venom was injected in the first place. So it's really hard to evaluate that data. But it does seem to be a pretty safe vaccine. So if you're going to be spending time out in an area like that, it may be something to consider is vaccinating your dog. But don't allow that to think that you're safe and free from still using that. Get to the veterinarian as soon as you can.
What's the cost of normally vaccinating a dog against rattlesnake bites?
You know, it's relatively inexpensive. Similar to the others, I think you're probably $30 to $40, and we'll need two vaccinations in a series before they're considered immunized. So you'll be less than $100 to get your vaccinations done. You know, so maybe it is wasted money if it doesn't work. But if it does work, you know, when you're 8 hours from getting veterinary attention, maybe it's worth to have that just in case it does provide some benefit.
Once they get here to the vet, what do you generally do? I know we won't be doing that.
My first course would be to get an IV going. A lot of times what happens is the venom is a hemotoxin, so destroys red blood cells. And so you can get some, you know, blood pressure issues. So we're just trying to get IV going to help kind of. If we were a specialty type hospital and could run clotting times, that would be important too. But again, that's kind of like the anti-venom. Not a lot of clinics have that opportunity. There really is all kinds of level of treatment for dog. I mean, I've had clients that their dogs were snake killing machines and got bit on a regular basis, and they gave them antibiotics and steroids, and they never seemed to have issues from it. So
Dr. Colstie, as we bring these dogs in, you know, we love these animals. We've invested a lot of time and effort and expense into these dogs. We're concerned. You start treatment. What is typically the duration of the time you're treating them? And, you know, what's an idea in terms of cost that you will see generally?
So hospitalization would probably be 24 to 48 hours at a minimum. And so cost-wise, if we're not using anti-venom, if we're just doing IV fluids, most likely that we would put them on antibiotics. Even though the antibiotic seems to be a controversial issue, I like to err on the side of I'm going to use the antibiotics because I don't have enough information to say that it doesn't work. They may not have enough information to say that it really does a lot of good, but I'm going to err on the side of safety. But excluding anti-venom, you'll run a minimum of $500 to $750 to treat one, upwards of $1,500, depending on how long we would keep them hospitalized and how much fluids we put into them.
Like you, I'm trying to do my very best by my dog. I have 40 years of experience training nearly every dog breed there is, and I'm always looking for that edge. I'm looking for those next training tools. I'm trying to increase my toolbox to help my dog become a better bird dog, to compete harder in field trials, to just to do new, greater, better, to reach further. I came across Talmadge Smedley, became really good friends with him, and watched how effectively he worked with his dogs. The natural demeanor that his dogs have in the field, the way he's able to communicate, almost like an upland hunting Dr. Doolittle. And as I watched him do this, and over the last couple years, start developing his online step-by-step courses for taking puppies through the puppy's basics and building these blocks, these foundational blocks of training that in the end of the day produce a broke pointing dog, a broke flushing dog, a broke retrieving dog. It's changed the entire approach I have to hunting dogs. You can check out these online videos and this training and his unique methodologies if you go to tsdoghouse.com. That's tsdoghouse.com. I can't recommend it strong enough. Let's say that some folks can't get them to the vet in time. Is there a time that passes where it's no longer important, or no longer not important, but it's not as imperative. I mean, there's a certain time that's passed, so what's going to happen will happen.
Yeah, I think if you have been, you know, 48 hours and your dog has survived, he's probably going to survive regardless of whether he gets veterinary care or not at that point. It still may be worth to go in and have him checked by the vet. We can get a lot of tissue damage from the snake bite, so there still may be some value in putting them on some antibiotics afterwards. But I've had several clients in the past that have, they would never bring their dogs in that have been bit by snakes and they have survived. I just recently had a story that my mom shared with me about some of her neighbors that had a snake, a rattlesnake, come into their garage, and the dog come running by and the snake bit the dog, and they ended up putting the dog down shortly after. So there's a lot of factors that influence how sick they may get, but I think 48 hours, and if you haven't sought veterinary care in that time and your dog's still alive, that there's probably a pretty good chance that he's going to survive it on his own.
Sometimes folks can get in that point or way in life where even these dogs are as important as they might be to them. They can't afford even a few hundred dollars to $500 to spend on their dog. And so, you know, they're trying to do all these things you're talking about and they're hoping for the best. What are the odds generally without further treatment coming into a vet that a dog that's bitten by a good size rattlesnake with a decent amount of venom is going to survive?
A couple of things. One would be the location of the bite. So if your dog has been bit on the face, his face is going to swell up and distort and be quite ugly looking, but I think there's a higher rate of survival in dogs that are bitten on the face without any treatment being done. And the same as on the leg. So if we're bitten on the leg, there's still pretty high percentage of them, more are going to survive even without treatment, I believe, than will die. So those numbers are hard to pin down, like we talked about earlier, that there's just not an organization that keeps track of how many dogs were bit, how much venom was injected into this dog, and how many of them survived. So we have to just kind of make some speculations. But one of the speculations would be that dogs getting bit by snakes most likely are going to be two types of bites. One's going to be the dog is running through the brush and doesn't even know the snake is there, and we get a defensive bite, and there'll be little venom probably injected on them. And the other, the dog gets curious and goes up to sniff the snake and gets bit on the face. Those type bites are much more likely to be survived than one where your dog is trying to kill the snake and the snake inflicts some good bites, especially if they're on the body of the dog.
So we've been talking about rattlesnakes a lot today, but there are other places that we hunt that have other venomous snakes. There's other different kinds of rattlesnakes as well. Is it the same kind of thing for each of the venomous snakes?
Yeah, so in the U.S., speaking of the U.S., I think the statistics say 99% of the bites are from rattlesnakes, copperheads, and the water moccasins. And they're all in the same kind of class. It's all a hemotoxin. The vaccine is the same for all of them. The other 1% are like coral snakes. They're so few and rare, the bites. Now, certain snakes are, there's different levels of toxicity of snakes. So the least toxic is probably the copperhead. Water moccasins would probably be next. There's a lot more copperhead bites, I believe, than there are rattlesnakes. They're pretty common in some parts of the country in our area. You know, we don't have them around. But one veterinarian, he's from Florida, so he deals with all kinds of, you know, the water moccasin, copperhead, as well as rattlesnakes. His philosophy is that one vial of antivenom may not really do a lot of good. You know, in people, you're upwards of 6 vials of antivenom. So he doesn't really promote antivenom and treats almost everything with just IV fluids and says it's a rare case where he needs antivenom. Maybe that's because everything he deals with is copperheads or water moccasins, which aren't nearly as lethal as a big diamondback. So many factors that involve into it really makes it hard to say what is the ideal treatment for each bite, but certainly IV fluids is one of the more important aspects.
So, you know, we're talking about preventative care. A lot of folks will go and do snake aversion training. Any experience with that, Dr. Colstein?
I do have a little bit of experience. I've taken some interest in doing rattlesnake aversion training because I think it does have a proper place in our hunting dogs and protection of our dogs when we're out hunting. It certainly won't eliminate all risk of being bit by a snake because I think a lot of these bird dogs, when you're out running like they are, they may run by a snake and not even know the snake is there. So I don't know that we'll prevent all bites, but I wanted to do some aversion training and we found a snake. My wife was out on the four-wheeler and found a snake. So we came down and I didn't have any way to catch the snake and I'm not brave enough to catch a snake by hand like some people are. I need equipment to do it. But anyhow, we were there and I'd stopped and got out my little dog. He's just a little miniature heeler. He got out and he started running right towards the snake that was in the middle of the road. And I yelled at him. And instead of him coming back to me, it scared him when I yelled at him. And he run and jumped right in the middle of that snake. And we had kind of been playing with the snake a little bit. So I think he was, you know, kind of done striking or, you know, he just was kind of coiled up in a ball there, not moving. And so my dog didn't get bit, but we found one a couple weeks later and did some aversion training with him. And so now I'll be interested to take him out and find another one and see how well he wants to stay away from it. But I think there's a place for aversion training.
Really appreciate the time that Dr. Colstey took today to research and be prepared and help us be safer in the field when we're around rattlesnakes. I've taken a lot of notes. I hope you have too. This has been fantastic, and I feel like I can be more prepared now in these situations. Thank you very much, and really a special thanks to Canine Pit Stop and their performance formulas in terms of prehydrate and refuel. They've been fantastic for our dogs and have truly helped optimize the performance of our dogs in the field. That's Canine Pit Stop, the letter K, the number 9, pitstop.com. Check it out. And as always, to Tease Doghouse and Talmadge Smedley's online video courses, the amazing methodologies that have helped make and improve our dogs' training and effectiveness in hunting and in field trialing and all that we're doing, I would recommend going to teasedoghouse.com, subscribing. You'll see a remarkable difference in how you build your foundation with your hunting dogs. Please subscribe, folks. Check out all that we do on Extreme Upland. And we'll see you next week where it's all upland all the time.